It's Showtime!
Woo! Actually, it almost seems like it's already Showtime, given how many things Apple is releasing this week.
Yes, they have been on a roll. They woke up from their post-Christmas sleep.
So we're recording this on Tuesday evening on the 19th of March, and so far this week, Apple has released something new every single day. Well, it's only 2 days, but still, do you think they might actually go for a full week streak of press releases every day?
I wouldn't say necessarily full week, but it's looking likely that they'll actually release more stuff tomorrow. In this case, for you listeners today, on Wednesday. Mac Rumors cited sources that told them that Apple would be releasing iPad on Monday, iMac on Thursday, and new iPod Touch on Wednesday. So it's sounding likely that it's actually going to happen. And this happens sometimes that we get hints from people familiar with the matter that, like, they say, oh, it's going to be such and such thing, but you don't publish anything about it because it's tricky to just publish something based on someone told you so.
Yeah.
But when it starts confirming, when the prophecy is fulfilled, then you start giving them more credibility. So it sounds likely that this Wednesday we'll see new iPod Touches and AirPower, maybe.
Ooh.
And new AirPods.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, because you've also been finding some evidence that the release of AirPower seems to be quite imminent, and you know, I know that you're the one to give up hope last when it comes to AirPower, but it does seem that this time it is happening.
Yeah, I don't lose my hope just because I've been following the evolution of the product, and I know that they have been still working on it, so it's different than if Apple stopped doing anything about it for 2 years, I would totally just forget about it and just say maybe they gave up on it. But they kept going, and I know from both sources and from stuff I've seen that it's still a product they've been working on.
Yeah.
And recently, like end of last year, they were still doing some testing with AirPower, making sure it was working. And right now, with the latest betas, they've added a ton of code that supports AirPower to check if a device is charging on the same mat as another product and display UI and stuff like that. So, yeah, it looks like it's getting closer and closer.
Awesome. Yeah, really getting excited about this. I never thought I would be so excited about a charger, but you know, it's the whole kind of story around it. And also it looks really cool, but it's going to be fascinating if you or someone else will be able to kind of dig up some details later, kind of why this whole thing happened. And you know, it seems like they had to go back to the drawing board for some aspects of the product, at least. You know, there were some reports of overheating and things like that. And you've also been tracking some of the code changes they have been making in the software as well, in the firmware. So it's going to be really interesting to see what ends up happening with this.
Little bit inside baseball here, but I've been shown some code from testing harnesses related to AirPower. There's a lot of stuff related to heat in there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's common for all products, especially ones that deal with batteries, to do testing, thermal testing. But the AirPower testing suite has a lot of stuff around heat.
Yeah.
And it does like stress testing, several different frequency sweeps across the different charging coils to make sure they are not overheating. So yeah, they definitely had some trouble in that area.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's also a very common problem for wireless chargers in general, that they generate a lot of heat. And, you know, heat is not very nice when we're talking about like electronics and plastic products and things like that. You know, things can melt or worse.
And lithium.
Yeah. And obviously Apple want to make sure that when they ship something like this, that it's flawless, right? They don't want any AirPower mats like melting your iPhone.
Yeah, definitely. Or maybe even worse, like iPhones exploding or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and I'm excited, and I think we'll be able to have an idea of how much back to the drawing board they had to go when the product actually is announced and we see pictures of the final shipping product, because I expect it to be a little bit different than what we've seen before.
Yeah, me too, especially given kind of the long delay or the long time that has passed since it was first announced and shown, right? So there must have been some really big engineering efforts that has gone into this product after it was shown.
Yeah, something I heard is that it's going to be thicker than what they announced.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That doesn't make much of a difference, actually. It's not a product you're going to put in your pocket or anything
right.
like that. So if it's like 2 millimeters thicker, it's not a big deal.
Plus, it's a first generation product, right? Which gives them the opportunity to 2 years later launch, AirPower 2. It's twice as thick, or not twice as thick, hopefully. It's twice as thin as the previous generation.
Yeah, definitely. So, exciting week.
Yeah, and, very exciting week.
Speaking of exciting week, the iPad mini is back.
The iPad mini is back from the dead. Yeah, yes. And that is very cool. And it's gained some new superpowers, including the latest chips inside, the A12. And also it now supports the Apple Pencil. But interesting enough, it's actually the first generation Apple Pencil that is also coming back from the dead. Maybe it was never dead, but it's making an encore here, even though there's already a second generation Apple Pencil out. But this is a super cool thing to see. And I love to see that the iPad mini is still around, that it's still a product that is being updated, because there are so many use cases, like we've talked about on the show before, for a smaller iPad, whether that is like you are, you know, running some kind of point of sale system and you just want the simplest screen that you can use that is not a phone or your own device that you can just attach to some kind of card reader. Or if you're, you know, giving it to a kid or something to watch a movie, or you just want to have a portable small iPad for yourself to like read on or play games. There's so many different use cases for iPad mini, so I'm very excited to see it back.
Yeah, and given that now it supports Apple Pencil, it becomes a really interesting note-taking device for people who are concerned about portability, like people who want to carry it in a backpack or a purse even. It becomes a really powerful small device that can be taken around with not much trouble, except for the fact that there's no Apple Pencil holder.
Right, exactly. And also, since it also supports the Logitech Crayon, it could also be used in schools and things like that, right? Because it's kind of a lower cost iPad. It's smaller, you know, there are many advantages to it. So yeah, I'm happy to see it back, and I'm curious to see, you know, how people are going to use it this time around. But it's interesting, like we mentioned, that it doesn't support the new Apple Pencil. But if you think a little bit about it, the reasons are kind of obvious, because in order for the iPad to use the new Apple Pencil, it would need to have the same kind of edges that the iPad Pros have, where the Apple Pencil can attach and charge magnetically because it doesn't have any ports. And, you know, the new iPads don't have that kind of design language or form factor. So in this case, also, since they are trying to keep the prices down, it makes sense to reuse the same old Apple Pencil rather than kind of inventing a new one.
Yeah, and then there's the economics as well. The new Apple Pencil is still very new, so it's probably considerably more expensive to manufacture.
Yeah.
Maybe they can't even manufacture it at the same scale they can the first one. So it's common for the first generation technology to be more expensive, and then it gets less expensive as time goes on. I even feel like maybe they should call these Apple Pencil and Apple Pencil Pro at the moment.
Right, yeah.
The new one is only for the iPad Pro. I think it would make sense for them to call it that. And also remove this stigma of, oh, this is the old Apple Pencil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's actually a very good point. And also just to make it less confusing for people buying, because now, in order to buy an Apple Pencil, you have to really check which device it's compatible with. And of course, we know who keep track of this stuff. But if my parents, for example, were to buy a new iPad and they wanted to have a Pencil, they would basically have to ask me which one they should get, right? So I see a lot of potential for mistakes to happen here.
Yeah, I was looking at Apple's website today, and they don't even call it Apple Pencil 1 and 2 or Apple Pencil 1st and 2nd generation. It's just both of them are just called Apple Pencil. But when you go to purchase them, it does list compatibility with devices. But yeah, normal people have a hard time understanding that type of thing.
Yeah, and if you just want an Apple Pencil, you're just going to click through that anyway. Just like, okay, proceed. Shipping address. And, you know, they also look different. So you could also misinterpret that to think that, oh, it's just which style of pencil I want, right?
Yes.
Which wouldn't be unreasonable to think either.
Yeah, if you are using the Apple Store app, it will actually say to you if it's compatible with one of your devices.
Oh, that's smart. So, yeah.
Yeah, that could be like a disambiguation feature right there.
Right.
But yeah, even then, I think some people might be confused.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it's going to go. Another potentially confusing thing and also exciting thing is that we have a new iPad Air. And I say it's confusing because the iPad lineup now is kind of going the same direction as the notebook lineup, or the laptop lineup, where there are a lot of different products and there are different price points, which makes sense. But the naming and also like how they look and what kind of features they have doesn't make a lot of sense at first glance, I would say, because you have the base iPad is just called iPad. Then you've got the iPad Air, then you've got the iPad Mini and the iPad Pro. So, you know, understanding the difference between all these devices, I think could be a little bit challenging. And of course, you can explain it with like, yeah, this got a laminated screen, does not have a laminated screen. But, you know, what does that mean to like the average consumer? So what do you think about the new iPad lineup when it looks like this, Rambo?
I actually think it makes sense. Of course, for regular people, like you mentioned, it is complicated to compare devices, but there are always articles on websites such as 9to5Mac explaining the differences. But I think Rene Ricci actually came up with a good summary of the new iPad lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, yeah, that the entry level would be the iPad, the 6th generation iPad, which was released last year. So it has Apple Pencil support, but it has the A10 processor, so it's a little bit not as fast as the new ones. Then you have the iPad Air and the iPad Mini. And these devices are pretty much the same except for the size and the fact that the iPad Air supports the smart keyboard. So those would be like the mid-level. And then you get the premium products, which are the new iPad Pro models, so the 11 and the 12.9-inch models. I feel like it makes sense when you think a little bit about it, but definitely for regular people, they're going to be wanting to talk to someone at an Apple store or maybe visit some websites to get to know the lineup a little bit better and what would be the best device for them. But generally speaking, I'd say the device that has no qualifier, so it's just iPad, is like the entry-level one. The one that has a qualifier is a little bit extra. So the iPad Air and the iPad Mini, they are a little bit extra. They have the A12 processor, so they are a little bit better. And the Pro is, of course, the top of the line.
Yeah, I do agree with Rene's take. I think that's a really good way of explaining the lineup. And if we think about it, you know, I think we in the Apple sphere, ever since kind of the iPhone came out and there was just this one device, there was just like a number after. So it was the iPhone 4, then 5, then 6, etc. I think we've gotten used to this like very, very simple lineup that is easily explained to someone. But buying computers in general has always been complicated, you know? Like, I'm sure that you and me and a lot of people listening to the show have been asked numerous times by, you know, friends or parents or someone in their family, you know, what computer should I buy? Which Mac should I get? Or which PC should I get? Which game console should I get? You know, there is very rarely in computing a very straightforward lineup, whatever you're buying, because as we know, like you know, scaling technology and adding new features and adding more advanced technology costs more money, but then you still want to hit a good price point. So you usually do have to have a quite broad lineup in order to like appeal to the whole market. So this feels a little bit what Apple is doing with all of their lineups right now. They're like trying to cover as much ground as possible. And it might make it a little bit harder to understand, but also like it makes it possible for more people to get a device that they're going to be really happy with.
Yeah, definitely. Buying computers, as you said, has never been easy for people who are not technically inclined. And some people have been comparing today's Apple with Apple before Steve Jobs came back. And I think that's completely insane to do that comparison, because back then Apple was doing like printers and video cameras and crazy stuff. These days, Apple's lineup, yes, it is complex. There are lots of products in the lineup, but I think it does make sense, and I don't feel like Apple is doing too much.
No, I completely agree. And they might have many products, but they don't have a lot of product categories. And I think this is the important thing. Like you mentioned before, they were in a lot of different product categories, like displays and printers and routers. And while we might wish that Apple would stay in some of those businesses, like routers or displays, the fact is that I would say they are in fewer product categories today than they've ever been, because they've focused their efforts on a few select categories that they then have more products within that category, which I don't think makes it, you know, less focused or makes it a risk that they are spreading themselves too thin, which is what happened before kind of Steve Jobs came back to Apple. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that argument doesn't carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, and I really hope they would be in the router product line still.
All right, so the week of shipping has continued, and today as we record, which is Tuesday, we got some new iMacs, and that includes both the kind of normal or base level iMac and all of the different configurations. They have the new latest Coffee Lake Intel chips inside of them now. And there's also some new options available for the iMac Pro as well. So this is cool because, you know, I've seen a lot of different takes on this today on Twitter and things like that. And it's very funny because it seems like the same people who are complaining that Apple doesn't, you know, update their products often enough are also complaining that it's just quote unquote a speed bump, you know, which I always find kind of hilarious, because I personally love to see these kind of releases from Apple, and I would love to see them as often as possible, because what happens is that if they always are able to put the latest chips inside, we will just not go for like, you know, 3 or 4 years before an update. We'll be able to always have like the latest technologies from Intel and other companies inside of our Macs, which I think is a great thing.
Yes, I definitely agree. And we were chatting about this similar thing earlier today about the original iPhone and how it's like an event that can be classified as a historical event, the launch of the iPhone. And some people seem to think that Apple should release something as big as the original iPhone every single year. That's completely, that's not an expectation that could ever be fulfilled by any company out there. And what I actually like about Apple is how consistent and how they can do small changes and evolutions that accumulate over time to deliver a good experience and good products and services. Not to say they don't have any problems. They definitely do, many, as we talk about frequently. But I prefer the slow and steady evolution than trying to release a brand new thing every year and then just tossing it a year later, like some companies do.
Right, exactly. And especially with the Mac, which is, you know, all of us that love the Mac and that use it and pushes it and, you know, try to do the most we can with it, we want the latest stuff, you know, we want the latest CPUs. And, you know, I'm saying that here running on my non-pro laptop, right? But in general, that's what I love about the Mac, is like that we can get, you know, a really good balance between power, and we can have portability, but we can still have, you know, really good CPUs and GPUs and stuff inside of our computers. And if the Mac can just keep up with that evolution as quickly as possible, that is just really, really awesome. And what makes the Mac great? Because they can take more time, I think, on the iPad side, for example. And that's something that differentiates, I think, the iPad and the Mac a bit, where with the iPad, we can have these more like generational leaps and say, there's a very clear difference here between the iPad Pro second generation and iPad Pro third generation. But with the Mac, I think we can almost have it as like, you know, continuous delivery of components, where as soon as Intel makes a new chip, put it in the Mac, right? As soon as they make a new GPU, put it in the Mac. Maybe not Intel, but, you know, as soon as AMD or NVIDIA makes a new GPU, put it in the Mac. I think that can be a big differentiator between these two platforms.
Absolutely. Imagine if Apple came up with a brand new iMac design every single year.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be crazy, right? Yeah. And it would be so unnecessary as well.
Yeah, it's not a fashion product like the Apple Watch can be, and even the iPhone can be sometimes.
Exactly.
So the pressure is different. And some people say, oh, but Apple hasn't been innovating in the iMac product line since a long time. But the iMac Pro was released in late December 2017. That's
right.
Like a little bit more than a year ago.
Yeah.
And it was like a brand new product and new design. And it has the T2 chip inside. It was the first Mac to have the T2 chip. So, yeah, I don't know what people want. Like, they want a brand new iMac design every single year?
I mean, when they eventually release the new design iMac with, you know, no bezels, it's just one big screen, and all the components are magically fit inside of the screen or in the foot of the screen, and you can't see any bezels, it's thin as a piece of paper, you know, when we get to that point, of course, we're going to look back at this iMac and look at it like an old car, right? and that's always how technology works. Like, that's a cool thing, that when we progress, the old stuff really looks old. But for now, I mean, with the technology we have and with the current phase that we're in, I would say keep the case and just put as much power as you can inside of it. Because as we know, every time you redesign something, you make it thinner and lighter and less bezels, there's trade-offs, right? And this has been some of the most major complaints about Apple's design of the Mac lately, especially the laptops, is that maybe they're taking a little bit too many trade-offs. And with the iMac, I'm just happy that they're not doing that they're just keeping the same case, but just putting more power inside of it.
Totally, yeah. And I hope they keep doing it, and even more often if they can.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And speaking about updates to the iMac lineup, the Upgrade podcast, which we are both fans of.
Huge fans.
Yeah, they had Colleen Novelli, which is the product manager for iMac at Apple,
yeah,
as a guest.
Yeah, super cool. Yeah, I haven't listened to that episode yet. It just came out a few hours ago, but definitely going to listen to it tomorrow. I'm going to take a plane ride tomorrow, and that's going to be all Upgrade, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I listened to the interview and it was really, really cool. So I definitely recommend, and we'll leave a link in the show notes. And more recently as well, I think last Friday, was it that a new episode of ATP came out with Phil Schiller as a guest?
Yeah, that's amazing.
So what do you think about this trend of Apple having executives at podcasts? I mean, they've had people talk to Gruber on the talk show before, but they are definitely spreading out more.
Yeah, they are. And I love to see that. I love to see Apple kind of connect more with the community because, you know, there's so many interesting things to hear and to hear, like, some of the stories behind it and you know, how the people who are working on something kind of think around it and what their plans are, like, not for future product or anything, but like what their plans were when they were building something, and to hear like the inside story. So that's always super cool to hear. And yeah, we've been seeing more and more podcasts having Apple executives as guests. And I was also actually very fortunate to have Ted Kremenek, who is the lead of the languages and runtimes team at Apple, on my show, Swift by Sundell. So There has been a lot of different appearances by Apple executives in many different forms, both in like technical podcasts like mine and also like more Apple news focused ones. And yeah, it's just really cool to see.
Yeah, there's one aspect that's a little bit inside baseball as well that I would like to comment about this. I see some people commenting on Twitter and other places that, oh, they had Phil Schiller, but they didn't ask about air power, and they didn't talk about how the keyboard on the MacBook Pro is terrible. I think we should explain to these people that there's an entire process that goes on when you have someone from Apple at any public appearance, be it an interview for a newspaper or a podcast or a video. There's a whole process that goes on, and everything must be agreed to beforehand. So you can't just have Phil Schiller on a podcast and ask him about something he doesn't want you to ask about.
Exactly. And when you're in that position, which I was, for example, when I was interviewing Ted on my podcast, you know, it doesn't make any sense for me to ask him about something that I know that he won't be able to answer, right? That's just a waste of time. It's a waste of my time, of his time, of the audience time. So I just don't do that because it doesn't make any sense. So why would I ask him about, you know, what's the next iPhone going to look like? You know, he's not, even if he knew, he's not going to tell me that. So I think, you know, everyone doing these interviews, the very best you can do for everyone involved, you know, for Apple, for you, for the audience, is to ask relevant questions that are good questions, like not just like, you know, give them compliments and just say, oh, everything is great, everything is awesome. Like ask good questions and try to get the inside story, but ask it about something that you know they're going to be able to answer, that they have agreed upon beforehand that they want to talk about. You know, that's just the best use of the time, and that makes for the most interesting show. So I don't think anyone should ever expect that, you know, when an Apple executive or executive from any company is being interviewed, that, you know, the interviewer will ask them like really hostile questions, because this just wouldn't work.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really happy about this trend, and I really hope it is a trend and that they keep bringing people to talk about this stuff in podcasts. I love when they talk about like past stuff, like when Phil Schiller talked about his Wi-Fi demo. I think it was at a Macworld.
Yeah, that was amazing. That's a great example, by the way, of such an inside story. You get like a little bit of like the behind the scenes of that, you know, thing that most people know about and remember fondly, and now you get to hear his kind of story and how it happened and some fun facts around it. And for me, that's like, that's the perfect thing to talk about during an interview like that. It's fun, it gives more like perspective, and yeah, it's just a great use of the time.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so let's hope that we're going to see even more of Apple on different podcasts and to hear more really cool stories. But for now, we're going to look ahead a little bit and play poker, because Apple, they have an upcoming event next week as we record. It's going to be the 25th of March. They're holding their what seems to be a media-focused event at the Steve Jobs Theater at Apple Park. And our tradition on this show is to, like many other podcasts, do like a little bit of a speculation episode beforehand. But our little twist on it is that we don't just like pick items that we think is going to happen, but we are gambling a little bit, gambling a little bit around what we think is going to happen. So the way the poker works, for those of you who haven't listened before to a poker episode, is that we will take turns. This time we will do 5 picks each. And for each pick, you are going to be able to put a score between 1 to 5 of how likely you think this particular thing is to happen. And if it does happen, and the qualifier there is that if it's shown on stage. So if something that we bet on is shown on stage, then those points that you've been betting goes to you. But on the other hand, if it doesn't happen, you lose that amount of points. And we're also going to publish, like on the like we've done for the previous poker episodes, we're going to publish a PDF with a scorecard. So if you want to play along at home, there's going to be a link in the show notes to a PDF, which could be fun. And also feel free to send us your bets as well, because we always love to see that. But without further ado, Rambo, are you ready? Are you ready for some poker?
Not yet. We need to define what the prize is going to be to the one who wins.
You are very correct. So do you have a suggestion?
Yeah, I think it's easy and it's something we've done before. We're going to take a trip together later this year, which is not our honeymoon again. And we are going to go to very nice places, and there's going to be foods and drinks at these places.
Hopefully,
So I think dinner.
Okay, let's do dinner. Yeah, it's a good bet.
All right, so the one who loses has to pay the dinner for the other one.
All right, let's do that. And by the way, I think I've said this before, but I think I'm the only one on this planet crazy enough to play poker with you when it comes to predicting what Apple is going to do. But this time, I think that the ground is a little bit more even because it looks more to be like a media-focused event, which is not so much about code-level spelunking.
Yeah, definitely. This time, I don't have many contacts in Hollywood. So, yeah,
it's hard to spelunk Hollywood.
Yeah, I think you have. We're on a level playing field this time.
Yeah,
and I thought we would see hardware at this event, but because they didn't announce them before, but since they are releasing all the things this week as press releases, now I'm definitely thinking it's going to be just services.
Yeah, it makes sense to get the hardware kind of quote unquote out of the way this week. During the week of shipping, and then move on to the week of media next week.
Absolutely.
So, what's your first bet?
All right, so my first bet is that Apple is going to announce an Apple News subscription service.
Ooh, all right. We're going straight for the news.
Oh, yeah.
And do you want to put any qualifiers on that, or do you just want to keep it broad?
I'm going to put a qualifier that there are going to be magazines in this subscription service.
All right. Like magazines, like not newspapers, but magazines like, some video game magazine or movie magazine and things like that, like more specific publications.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to be able to download issues of magazines and get notifications about new issues and stuff like that. So, and I'm going to give it a 5.
All right, so 5 points. And sorry, but I just want to put one more qualifier. I want to ask you about one more qualifier. We're talking here just to clarify that it's a all-you-can-eat service, right? Not like you pick a few publications or you subscribe to them individually, but rather you pay Apple one amount per month, and that's for that you get all the publications that are part of the deal.
Yeah, like the Netflix model for magazines.
Exactly, right. And 5 points for you on that. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to match that. We're going to start with the even playing field, like we said. So 5 points for me as well. I think we've heard too much about this. There's been too much smoke for there not to be a fire. You've even seen screens and things like that that you've been spelunking in the code. So
yep.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear we're going to see it. And given that this will be a media focused event, it feels like a no-brainer.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they could not announce at this event, but given that it's all over iOS 12.2, which is in beta right now, and it's probably iOS 12.2 is probably coming out next week. Yeah, it's pretty much a guarantee.
Yeah, totally. All right, now it's time for my pick, and I'm going to actually segue from that thing you just said and say that I'm going to bet that iOS 12.2 is specifically mentioned during the event. And it might just be to say, like, all of these great features are part of iOS 12.2, which is released today. Or they could say that there's new emojis coming in iOS 12.2, so please update, which is always how they get people to update these days. But iOS 12.2 is specifically going to be mentioned, and I'm going to bet 4 on that.
Just to clarify, if Tim Cook says something like, and all these features are coming with software updates later this week, without specifically mentioning 12.2.
If it says 12.2 on the slide, then it's still valid. But if it just says software update, it doesn't say 12.2 anywhere, then it's not valid. So that's the qualifier.
All right. I'm going to give it a 3.
All right. Playing it a little bit more safe there.
Yeah.
That's good. It's good that we're diverging. It creates more of a game. So what's your next pick?
All right. This one, I think we're going to be tied, depending on what happens. I'm going to say that Apple is going to announce a video subscription service.
No way.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
I mean,
breaking news, exclusive.
I thought that it's Showtime refers to something completely different.
Oh. Yeah, it's all about air power.
Exactly. That's the big show that we've been waiting for, the air power show with fireworks. And it's all powered by air power. 500 air power units acting in complete synchronization to form this piece of art.
1.21 gigawatts of power.
Exactly. Right in the air. All right. So now you do have to put some qualifiers on that, I think. It's a little bit too broad. So tell us, what's the bet?
Yeah, so the bet is that they are going to announce an Apple video subscription service that's going to allow people to watch TV shows and movies. And it's going to be also, this time, exactly the Netflix model. So you pay a monthly subscription and you can watch everything you want.
All right. And should we also speculate on the name? Do you want to include the name in the bet?
Not in this one. This
okay.
one is just about the service.
Just about the service. All right.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you the 5, of course.
Of course. And I'm also going to match that because I think if we don't see it, like, the world will end or something. Like, it seems like it's a total given that we're going to see some kind of video service.
I'm going to laugh so hard if you end up winning because of the iOS 12.2 thing.
It's going to be the best tiebreaker ever.
All right, so what's your next pick?
Let's go a little bit experimental. Everyone who's been listening to previous poker episodes knows that the only chance I have of winning is to go crazy and bet on something that is really strange but might end up happening. And I'm going to go with the game subscription. That's been a rumor that has happened as well. It's not at all as clear of a rumor or as solid of a rumor as the other two. But there's been a rumor that Apple will include some kind of game subscription on iOS, maybe as part of this, maybe as part of a bundle, etc. And it comes at an interesting time because we're going to talk about it on a future episode, but I've been really getting into game streaming from PlayStation Now, which is that you can stream to your PlayStation a game that is running remotely. And just before we started recording, Google also announced their game streaming service. But I don't think that Apple is doing a game streaming service. I don't think that's what this is. I think potentially what they're doing is some form of subscription where you can say, I'm going to pay Apple $5 a month or whatever the price is. I'm not betting on the price as part of this one. And you just get a new game. Like, kind of like the best comparison would be something like PlayStation Plus, where you can subscribe to PlayStation Plus and you get new set of like 3 or 4 games every month for your subscription. So that's what I'm betting on, that they are going to have some form of subscription for games in the App Store where you're going to get a certain number of games every month for free or included in your subscription, I should say. And that is also going to get announced on stage.
Are you betting that the subscription is going to be free?
No, I'm not. Maybe free trial. I can say free trial, but not free.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to bet a 3 on that.
All right. This is a tricky one. I'm going to bet a 2.
All right. I'm writing down 2 for you on that.
That's because we haven't seen any concrete evidence other than rumors. And I also believe it could be something they leave to announce at WWDC, since it kind of involves developers a little bit more.
True.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it could definitely happen. They could even mention it as something that's coming later this year and maybe mention some of the initial partners. But then, like, do the actual developer launch at WWDC and open it up for more developers and keep it on beta until the end of the year. So, yeah, it's definitely possible that it's going to be announced next week.
Yeah, it fits in with the kind of services narrative and with the whole media thing. You know, I think it fits in an event like this. But you're right that it could be more of a WWDC thing because it's more for developers. And I think also there you have your answer as to why we might not have heard about it. Because with the news, they're dealing with publications, right? Who also have a little bit of an incentive to leak some of this stuff. Like there've been rumors of like Apple wants to keep 50% of the profit and things like that. And, you know, news outlets are more incentivized to talk to the press because they are the press, right? about these things. And the same with Hollywood. And, you know, it's almost impossible to keep the production of like 10 different TV shows and movies secret, like, because you're shooting them in cities and closing off streets and stuff like that. So, but this only involves other developers. And I think Apple has a very good track record of keeping developers quiet. I'm not saying that in a bad sense, but, you know, when they bring up Epic Games on stage to demo the new Unreal Engine in WWDC, it's not like Epic Games have been leaking that before.
Yeah, they are very good about keeping developers silent because it is a big deal. If you're a developer and you are disclosed on something Apple is working on and you talk about it, that's a big no-no. And it's happened to me even. Nothing big, like nothing huge, like a new hardware or something like that, but it has happened to me with like new API before. And even being me, I didn't say anything about it to anyone because, yeah, it is a big deal. You don't break an Apple NDA.
No way. Especially not if you're like, you're a developer on their platform, you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. That's a very...
Exactly.
That's a very, not very smart thing to do. All right, so two rounds down, three rounds to go. So what's your next pick?
All right, so I'm gonna pick that Apple is going to announce a new service that's tied to Apple Pay, and that it will be a credit card like service. Let me explain what I mean by credit card like service. I don't mean that Apple is going to release a credit card like we mentioned before, and then that we are going to have like this glass card that has the Apple logo on it or anything like that, or even a plastic card.
It's actually a screen. It's an AR screen. You can just hold it up. It shows you how what things around the world around you can afford.
Yeah, so what I mean by this is that they are going to actually become even more a payments company, and they are going to offer some service where you can enroll and have your own Apple virtual card that you can use to buy stuff. And you're going to be able to use maybe your Apple Pay cash to use with this card. You're going to be able to pay for stuff with this card, pay for Apple stuff, pay for with Apple Pay using this card. And it's only going to be a virtual card. It's not going to be a physical thing.
Yeah, that makes total sense. There have been some rumors around this, like we've talked about in the past. So yeah, there definitely seems to be some things pointing to this direction. So do you think this will be announced? Is that what you're saying? Is that your bet? There will be an announcement of some kind of Apple Pay service that is more like a credit card?
Yes, and I'm going to give it a 3.
All right, that's a good bet. And I'm just not sure like how it fits into this particular event, but maybe I'm going to go with a 2 for this one, just for the sake of the game.
All right. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, it sure is.
So what's your next pick?
My next pick is I want to dive a little bit deeper into the video service, because I think there's a lot of nuance here which we can bet on, because when there's nuance, there is gambling, right? And one thing I want to bet on is the actual content. So there has been some rumors and you know, people talking to the press again about that Apple has been very particular about that they only want kind of quote-unquote family-friendly content on their service, which kind of makes sense given Apple's brand and things like that. So that's going to be my bet, is that the shows that Apple are going to show during their Showtime event are only going to be things you could show on primetime TV in the US, which is basically like, it doesn't have to be family-friendly in the sense that it's only cartoons and things like that, but there will be no like extreme violence, there will be no nudity and things like that. Like basically no HBO stuff and more like primetime TV stuff.
Yeah, there's not gonna be like Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones kind of stuff.
Exactly, yeah. So more family-friendly content, and that's what I'm betting on here. And it doesn't need to be explicitly said. Like, I don't expect Tim Cook to say that. Maybe he will, but I'm not betting on that. I am betting only on, like, the actual content, that we're not seeing any, like, super violent stuff on
Yeah, you mean we could infer from the content that's shown at the event that it is going to be family-friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm betting a 5 on that.
Yeah, me too. I don't think there's any way Apple would even hint at, like, violence or sexual stuff during a keynote. Absolutely not.
A dark sci-fi future where everyone uses Android.
Toxic health too.
Exactly. All right, so that's our third round, and it's time to move on to the fourth one. But before we do, let's take a very quick break and thank this episode's sponsor, which is our really good friends at Hyper. You might know Hyper. They're the company behind some of the most beloved USB-C hubs, chargers, battery packs, and other really high-quality accessories for Apple devices. And last month, we had a great 9to5 Mac deal of the month for everyone listening to this show and reading 9to5 Mac. And the good news is that we've kept going and we have a new deal for you this month. So for March, you'll be able to get a 50% discount. That's 50, half the price, off some of Hyper's really great wireless chargers and USB-C hubs. So they've got three unique Qi-compatible wireless chargers for your iPhone. And first of all, they've got their HyperDrive wireless charging stand. Now, this is an 8-in-1 USB-C hub that features 4K HDMI output, gigabit Ethernet, 3 USB-A ports, an SD micro card slot, and of course also USB-C pass-through power delivery with up to 49 watts of power. Now, that's not for your Mac, this is for your iPhone, which is really cool, and it's very, very powerful. And the best part is that not only is it powerful, it also runs nice and cool, it won't overheat your iPhone like some of the other wireless chargers might, and it's also small and compact, which is great for traveling. Then, they've also got some more traditional chargers as well, like their Hyperjuice wireless charging stand, which you can use for your iPhone as well. It's pretty much like the HyperDrive, but without that hub part. And they've also got a great wireless charger for your car as well. So make sure to check this out. It's a very special 9to5 Mac deal of the month, which gives you 50% off all of those great charging products that I just mentioned. And it also helps support me and Rambo and our work with Stacktrace. So check out the show notes where you'll find a direct link to take advantage of this offer. And you can also use promo code 9to5wireless at checkout to get 50% off your wireless charger from Hyper. Thank you so much to Hyper for sponsoring Stacktrace. All right, so time for round number 4. So Rambo, what's going to be your fourth bet?
All right, so my next pick is that since they are introducing so many new subscription stuff, that they are going to announce a subscription option that includes all of Apple's subscription services.
All right.
So you're going to be able to get a bundle with a single payment, monthly payment, that's going to include like Apple Music and the new stuff, the video stuff, and even the game stuff if they do announce it. So that's my pick, and I'm going to give it a 4.
All right. So is that only including the new services, or will it also include Apple Music? Will it maybe include something like Apple Care, or where do you kind of draw the line there?
I'd say it would include the content services, so including Apple Music.
Okay.
Maybe, and this is not part of the bet, I'm just speculating, but maybe they could have multiple bundles and some will include only the content stuff and others would include also like iCloud maybe. But what I think is very likely is that they're going to announce a bundle subscription that's going to include all the content stuff. So news, music, video, and if they announce it, games.
Yeah, Yeah, that sounds both very plausible, because now we are getting to a point where if they introduce all these services, you would have kind of a lot of things you're subscribed to. And I think there's a psychological effect there where you don't want to subscribe to too many things. And this is something you hear all the time. And I personally feel like this as well, that even if a subscription is like $1 or $2 or $3 or something like that, or up to 10, you're still thinking about it, because you start to think about all the other subscriptions you already have, and it kind of starts adding up. So I think just psychologically, having just one price, which will probably include some form of discount on the whole, you know, the total price of everything, will just make a lot of sense and make it easier for people to make that decision.
Yeah, definitely. And there will probably be a discount as well. If you get the bundle, you pay like $1 less or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So a bundle that includes all of the media stuff, including Apple Music and the new stuff that they're going to show as well. And you're betting 4.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bet 5 on that. Ooh. I think it's, yeah, you know, we have to keep it exciting here, right? And I think it's very, very likely, just because, again, I think it fits with the narrative, and I can just see them on stage saying something like, and if you already have Apple Music, we have good news for you, because you'll be able to upgrade to this tier and you will get all of this stuff. So, I mean, with better marketing spiel than what I can come up with here on a podcast.
Yeah, I can definitely see at the end, the very end of the keynote, them showing like a slide, like Tim Cook doing a recap. So Apple News, Apple Music, Apple Video, and then saying like, oh, but all of these subscriptions, what if you could subscribe to just one thing?
Get it, Rambo? These are not 3 subscriptions. It's just one subscription. A music.
These are not 3 separate subscriptions.
Exactly. A music, a news, and a video. Oh, that would be awesome. That would be so great. And I hope they use the same animation as well. That would be a great homage to the original iPhone introduction.
Now that I think about it, it could even be the one more thing of the event.
Oof, yeah.
The fact there's a bundle. Maybe,
It would be good. It would be very good.
I'll keep my bet, though.
All right. So for my 4th bet, I want to do something a little bit funny. And this is also going to be a little bit maybe hard to quantify, but I think you're going to see what I mean here. I want to bet that there's obviously going to be some kind of celebrity appearances on this in this event. There's going to be some kind of directors or actors or something appearing on the stage. But I'm betting that at least one of these appearances is going to be awkward. And that is going to be, what I mean by that is going to be awkward is that the sentiment kind of from people watching and from people in the room and stuff, it's just going to feel like it's a little bit awkward. And the reason I'm saying this is because whenever there's, you know, people from like entertainment industry meeting with, you know, an Apple event, these are very, very different things. And you end up with a little bit of a cultural clash. And this is very, very natural, you know, and it's, when I say awkward, I don't mean bad necessarily. It's just kind of a little bit funny or a little bit quirky. And it's going to be a little bit like, maybe like a little bit painful to watch, but also funny. That's kind of what I'm betting on. So some of these celebrity appearances is going to feel a little bit awkward to us tech people watching the show. That's going to be my bet. Is that a fair bet? Do you accept this bet?
Yeah, I think we can make it more fair if we come up with some examples of what awkward would include.
Okay.
And I was thinking about some here, which I think you will agree. Like,
yeah.
Let's say you can clearly see that the person is reading what they're saying. The person is doing this a lot. You can see like, or they say something weird about Apple that Apple would never say, or they like they act in an awkward way with their body language.
They talk for 5 minutes about the Apple jacket they bought off eBay.
Yeah, awkward laughing as well.
Right.
That's not accompanied by laugh from the audience. I think those all qualify.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to be clear that the reason I'm betting on this is not because I want, you know, the keynote to fail or be bad or anything. It's just like, I really think that this is just a product of these worlds colliding. And I think it's also interesting to see, and it's going to be fun to watch. So my bet is it's awkward in the most positive sense that you could think of it.
Yeah, and we're just coming up with the stack trace awkward index.
Exactly. And my bet on this is let's go for a 3.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 2.
All right. So you think they've done a lot of rehearsals this time?
Yeah, just because Hollywood people are used to having to behave in a very specific way. And if they've been rehearsing a lot, I feel like it could be that no one actually ends up being awkward.
Yeah, I hope so, definitely. But also, yeah. I kind of secretly hope a little bit that there will be some awkwardness just for the fun of it.
Yeah, because let's be honest, for people who are waiting for new products, the interesting week is this week.
Exactly.
Next week's event is going to be boring if you are just looking for products. So it's going to be fun if there's some interesting awkwardness during the event.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so final round. What will you go for? What's your bet?
All right, this is a risky one. And it's a very specific one, and it's kind of related to the previous one.
Okay.
I'm going to go all out and say that Steven Spielberg is going to be on stage.
Now this is a very good pair with mine. I mean, I love Steven Spielberg as a director and things. I think he's made some incredible movies. But if anyone has a interesting or complex relationship to tech companies and streaming, it's Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, and it's in part why I picked this. First, because I think it's possible that he's going to be there. And second, because it is very, very interesting. And I'm going to give it a 2.
All right. I can match that. I think a 2 is a good bet. I think if they do have him there, that would be a great kind of victory, if you will, because for those of you who don't know, Steven Spielberg has been kind of vocal against Netflix in some ways, like that he's been talking about streaming video and in the context of Oscars and things like that. So it would be a good victory for Apple to get him on stage to kind of endorse the Apple streaming service.
Maybe he's been so much against Netflix because he's such a buddy with Apple.
Exactly. Maybe. All right, that's a good pick. Steven Spielberg makes an appearance. 2 points from each of us. I think we should talk a little bit about pricing. So that's going to be my last bet. And this is always tricky because you have to think first, like, what's the market look like and what's the kind of standard price for some of these services? And I'm still on, like, I think the old tier of Netflix pricing because I signed up for Netflix super long ago. But I believe that Netflix right now is it $9.99 per month for Netflix? Right
I
now?
Have no idea because it's different here, of course.
Of course, yeah.
I pay in Brazilian reais.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also pay in Polish złoty, but we have to use the US pricing just to have a normalizer.
Yeah.
But most of these services are like $9.99. I do believe I pay around $10 for HBO as well. You can see here how much research I've done about this bet. I don't even know what the things I already pay for cost. But I'm going to say that I think that the Apple Video subscription service is going to be around $15 per month. And I do believe that the new subscription service is going to be around $5 per month. So that would be my 2 bets. Is that okay to say around? Like if they say $4.99, I will still win. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think around is fair there. But only if, like a few cents.
Right, so it's not like it costs 25. It's around 15, right? Yeah, so around $15 per month for video and around $5 a month for news. That would be my
bet. I'm going to say this. If it's over 14 and below 16... you get a point.
Okay, that's great. So we're talking about the cents.
If it's $15.99, you get a point.
Okay, great.
Because it's around 15.
Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds like we have a bet. And I want to keep this kind of low risk. So I'm just going to say 2 because as you heard with my reasoning, I don't have a lot of research done on this topic and I'm not a pricing expert. But yeah, I think that could be what we see here, this kind of pricing. So what do you think?
I'm going to give it a -2.
Oh, yeah, minus. We haven't had minus bets.
Yeah. And I know it's negative, but I love the minus sign. So I say minus.
That's fine.
Because I think they're going to be more aggressive with the pricing. And I don't have any information at all. I haven't done any research, just like you. But I just feel like since they are entering this market now, that they're going to want to be more aggressive about the price.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's what they kind of did with Apple Music. It's $9.99, which matches a lot of other streaming services. So $9.99 might be the price point they go for here. I'm just thinking that in terms of messaging, they might be messaging this more like as a premium service that is a little bit more pricey. And it could also be a way to upsell on the bundle. Let's say that the bundle costs $25 per month and it includes the news, the video, and Apple Music or something like that. It could be an easier upsell. That's just my reasoning around it. So yeah, I think around $15, that's my bet.
All right,
so that concludes our poker game for this event, and this is going to be a very interesting one to watch. So again, if you want to play along with us, then make sure to check out the show notes, where you find a link to a PDF with all of our bets and a scorecard where you can fill out your own. And again, feel free to like send us a screenshot or something on Twitter. We love to see your bets, and let us know what you think, and we will play along when Apple has their event on the 25th of March.
Now that the poker is over, another thing we had on the list was about the launch markets, where these new services would launch. And do we think they are going to be available anywhere except the US this year?
I don't think so. I think this is a US only thing for now. And because that's what they've been doing so far. That's like, seems to be their MO when they're rolling out services like this. Because especially with video streaming, that requires infrastructure. And infrastructure that is specifically local infrastructure. Like, you don't necessarily want to stream from the US if you're in Asia or if you're in Europe. You want to have local service and CDNs and things like that. And feels like a complex thing. So I definitely think this is a US only thing for now. And also, there are also interesting laws around the world when it comes to content. Like, I'm not an expert, but I've heard that, for example, in France, you need to have a specific amount of French content in order to have a video streaming service in France. Like, this might be me mixing up with another country, but
I think it's the same in Brazil, actually.
Yeah, it might be. And it makes sense, because also to kind of protect the local culture and, things like that. So that makes total sense.
I think it's BS, but...
Well, I think it depends on what...
It is true.
Right. And that could also make it more complicated to launch something like this internationally.
Yeah, and also just the content deals. If they're going to have content from other producers that are not Apple themselves, they need to have the permission from the content holders, and that may not be worldwide. It could be just for the US, and then they have to reach a deal for Brazil and another one for Europe. And it's very tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is like anyone who's ever tried to stream a TV show has seen this themselves, right? Where you hear someone talk on a podcast about this new cool TV show, and you open up your app, like you open up your Netflix or your HBO, and it's not there. And you're thinking, why is that? And even for Netflix originals, right? Because sometimes they will make a deal, like Star Trek Discovery is a great example, where it airs on actual TV, on traditional TV, and on their streaming service, on CBS's streaming service in the US and Canada, but in the rest of the world is on Netflix.
Yeah, and sometimes they want to localize the content as well. I know that some of Netflix original content has like different scenes and endings depending on the markets, which I think is kind of crazy, but they probably have a good reason for it, and they want to add subtitles and things like that. So yeah, it makes sense to not be a worldwide thing from day one. So we'll see how Apple handles it. I think it's more likely that we'll see the video stuff coming to other countries first. Apple News, they've been super slow to bring it to new countries. It's only going up in Canada with iOS 12.2, and there's no sign that it's coming to any other countries anytime soon. So yeah, and also when we're talking about payments and credit cards, that's even harder because the regulations around that are really complicated.
Yeah, exactly. And they might be able to leverage some of their Apple Pay kind of deals or infrastructure with that they have with local banks. Because Apple Pay has actually been quite impressive in terms of rollout, I will say. I mean, I know it's taken a while and taken years to roll out, but you know, as far as payment goes and you know, the whole economic loss and everything, I would say it's still fairly impressive, not only the rollout, but also the coverage of banks, at least in certain countries.
Yeah, I'm still surprised that we have Apple Pay in Brazil. There are
Right,
many
yeah.
like other countries that I would think would get it first, but we have it here.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we were planning initially for this episode to talk a little bit about the current debate around Apple versus Spotify, because as most of you probably know, Spotify has been filing some complaints with the European Commission around Apple and their and the App Store and the way they are allowed to operate within it. But we're going to table that for a future episode. So we're going to do a little bit more of a broader discussion in a future episode around the App Store, around the rules and the pricing and things like that, because there's already been quite a lot of discussion about this issue in the community, and we just think that if we do it a little bit later, we'll be able to have more context and we'll be able to also talk more about it from like a more broader perspective. Or what do you think, Rambo?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a very complex topic, and we may disagree in some points. So I think it's going to create an interesting discussion. And it is an exception we're gonna open for this because we usually don't talk politics, but this is such a related topic to what we do and such a hot topic as well that I think we can't let it go. If you wanna listen to an interesting discussion right now about this, you can listen to the latest episode of Happy Hour from 9 to 5 Mac. Zach and Mayo, they talked about the issue, and I think they had an interesting discussion.
Perfect. We'll have a link in the show notes to that episode. But for now, we want to round off this episode by doing some Ask Stacktrace. So, as you know, you can send us questions for this show by tweeting with the hashtag AskStackTrace. And please do that because we love to get questions from you and to hear what you want us to talk about. And it doesn't have to be anything about like the current Apple news or anything. It can be something fun. And this week, we do have a little bit of a fun question. And this one comes from Dylan. And Dylan wants to know if we time traveled back to the year 2000 and we had to bring a modern technology product to show people as a demo. What product would we choose and why? And we should pick one Apple product and one non-Apple product.
Oh, this is gonna be
Yeah,
hard.
this will be challenging, right? And the year 2000, you know, just to take you back, The Matrix had just come out the year
Wow.
before. Yeah, it was the year of the 2K bug that everyone thought would happen, where they thought that whole computer system and everything would crash because we would go to the year 2000. And yes, it was a very different time than we live in right now, almost 20 years ago.
I was 9 years old, Joe.
Right, exactly. So, Rambo, you want to kick us off? Like, should we start with the Apple product first? What Apple product would you bring back to the year 2000 to show all your 9-year-old cool kids, how cool you are, time traveling from the future.
Well, I think it's, at least for me, it's obvious that it would be the iPhone because it was such a different product that changed everything about an industry. And even if you think about the web, the internet, how it was back in 2000 and how it is right now, it changed a lot after the iPhone. And it changed for the smartphone overall, but the iPhone, it really set the standard for the future of the web and mobile computing. So I think there's no other Apple device I would bring that would evoke the same sensation.
Yeah, I think the iPhone is the obvious pick. You know, it's like it's would appear almost as magic to my 2000 year self because, you know, I barely had a cell phone back then. I think I maybe just have gotten mine because I was 13 years old at that time. So I might have just gotten my cell phone, like the first one, but you know, there's a very huge difference between like the Nokia 3310 and the iPhone XS. So yeah, I would probably also do that, but I'm not going to pick the iPhone just to make it more interesting. I would probably do that, but just to pick something else, just to also give another example. I'm going to bring the AirPods because the AirPods are, you know, I think probably like the most futuristic technology that I own. And what I mean by that
I have a tricky question for you, John.
How am I going to charge them or what? Without lightning cables?
How would you demo the AirPods?
Right, without my iPhone. Well, there were Bluetooth back then, wasn't there? Maybe, maybe not. Well, you already bring your iPhone and we're obviously time traveling together, right? It's not our time traveling honeymoon, but you know, we're still time traveling together. And you have your iPhone, so it's perfect, right? I'll just connect the AirPods to your phone and show it. And, you know, I think the AirPods are super futuristic because they're just so small and lightweight, and the way they charge so quickly and you can just put them in your ear and just works, like, it's almost like magic still to me. And I know how it works, kind of, but it's still just super fascinating. So I think I would, combined with your iPhone, I'll bring the AirPods.
Yeah, I know a lot about how AirPods work, and even to me, they still feel like magic to some extent. And I remember when Apple announced the AirPods, I was watching the keynote and I saw the video, and the first thing that I thought was exactly what you said, like, this looks so futuristic. So yeah, I agree. It would definitely make people think about the future in a different way. I mean, we talked about the iPhone and how futuristic it would look for people in the year 2000. But if you took an iPhone XS Max and showed it to someone at the iPhone introduction keynote, they would probably be as curious about it as someone from 2000 would be about the original iPhone.
Yeah.
You'd have to explain less to them what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, they would be very interested about the device.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just an incredible like leap in technology in general and just everything you can do with it. And you would be able to, I guess, demo quite a lot of features, even though you wouldn't have a 4G network. So <Yeah. laughs> it would be the internet bound features would be kind of slow on a, you know, 2G barely working network connection.
Yeah, it would be very interesting. I think, you could use Wi-Fi and...
Right, you could use Wi-Fi, that's true.
Yeah, when I got the original iPhone, I mean, recently, I have an original iPhone. I didn't have one before. I was actually wondering if it would be able to connect to my Wi-Fi at home because, I don't know, standards change and it's been 10 years. So, and it actually works on my home Wi-Fi. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool. Maybe it shows that Wi-Fi hasn't progressed as far or that they are better at doing backwards compatibility, which is also a beautiful thing. All right, but now we're getting to the interesting part. What non-Apple product are you bringing to the year 2000?
This is hard. So I was more into video games back then than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think we should do a gaming special someday.
Even
a nostalgia special, maybe. So I played the Super Nintendo and PlayStation 1. And when I think about non-Apple devices that I use, I mean, my whole ecosystem is so much Apple that pretty much all electronic devices I rely on a daily basis are Apple devices. But there's one device that I use not so frequently because I'm not that much into gaming these days. But I do use it quite a lot, and I enjoy using it, which is the PS4.
Yeah, That was actually on my list for picking as well, bringing back the PS4, because that's what you're saying, right? You would bring the PS4.
Yeah, because it's such a leap if you think about how gaming was like in the year 2000 and how it is like today. I mean, if you showed someone a game running on a PS4, I think they would be very, very impressed.
I hope you're also bringing an HDMI to SCART converter so that you can hook it up to one of those, like, you know, composite SCART connections on those TVs that we had back then.
You know what's funny? I have one of those.
Perfect.
I have an adapter that takes HDMI and outputs VGA and composite video. I have no idea why I have this, but I do.
You have it just for this time traveling trip that we're taking.
Yeah, I've been planning for it.
Yeah, I think the PS4 is a great pick. Actually, fun fact, the PlayStation 2 was released in the year 2000. So that would be a pretty big leap going from PS2 era graphics to PS4 graphics. That would be quite mind-blowing, I think. And you know what? I'm going to follow here with the same trend as I had on the previous pick. I'm going to pick an accessory to your product. And can you guess what I'm going to pick? Which accessory? Which would blow minds in the year 2000?
AR? VR?
Yes, I'm going to bring my PlayStation VR. I think, you know, back in the year 2000, I was watching Star Trek with the holodeck and things like that and dreaming about one day I will be able to be inside a video game. And we're not quite there yet with VR. But honestly, if you would show my 2000 year self the current iteration of VR, I would think that's a holodeck. You know, that would be like such a huge leap for me that I would be like, oh my God, these graphics are realistic. Because they're way better than the graphics we had then, and VR is still quite immersive given the right game already. So yeah, let's bundle up your PS4 and my PlayStation VR, and we'll blow some minds in the year 2000.
Yeah, so you see how John's time traveling relies on my time traveling to work.
Exactly. Well, I would have picked other products, but you know, I wanted to pick something that was a little bit fun, and I didn't want to just go with the same ones. So yeah, I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I think this was a very interesting question, and it kind of made me want to talk nostalgia with you someday.
Yeah.
So I think we should plan for that.
We're getting old enough for that, I think. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Let's start doing that. All right, so thank you so much, Dylan, for your question. And again, feel free to send us questions at hashtag AskStackTrace. You can just tweet it out, any question that you want to ask. And we do love to get these fun questions as well. But that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed our poker game and this little time-traveling spin-off at the end. And we'll talk to you again next week, where we're going to be analyzing and discussing all the things that Apple did end up showing, and we're going to talk about our poker results and things like that. So make sure to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter. I am at John Sundell. Mr. Rambo is at _inside, and you can find everything about this show at 9to5mac.com. But thank you so much for listening, everybody, and big thanks also to our sponsor Hyper for helping us make this episode happen. But that's it for now, so say goodbye, Mr. Rambo.
Goodbye.